walk down the road. Heavy burden, heavy load. I will rise and I will walk with you.
I will walk with you.
And you walk through the night and you feel like you wanna just give up, give up, give up on the fight. I will come. Till the clouds fade away, I tell you I'll
walk with you.
Each and every day, I'll walk with you.
See you through.
And when you walk from this place, and you gotta go to meet him, it's time to meet him face to face. Take my hand.
By this ministry. Good morning and welcome. Welcome here in the sanctuary. Welcome to those of you who are joining us online. There's many classes and opportunities to get involved here at Unity Minneapolis. A few things I'd like to highlight for you this morning. If you notice in your bulletin, there's an insert about all of the Holy Week activities we have going on. This Thursday, we have a Maundy Thursday service. It'll be a communion service with the elements, and that will be followed by a potluck, simple supper, where we're each invited to bring our favorite soup or bread, something to share with each other over a community meal. On Friday, we have a Good Friday service that will be an experience of the Passion story. And then on Saturday, our Youth and Family Ministries is sponsoring an extravaganza. It will be a fabulous day for our youth and for those who are willing to volunteer to truly make this activity unfold with ease and grace. And then we have Easter Sunday, so it's truly a full week here. We also have a new membership class coming up that I would invite you to sign up for. It will be on Wednesday evening starting April 8th. If you plan to attend, please sign up in advance so that we can prepare the materials for you. The flowers today were donated by Papo in honor of Sheila White's birthday. If you have your cell phone or other electronic device with you, now would be a great time to take it out. If you have Facebook, to check in, let your friends know where you're at, that they would truly be welcome here. And then silence it. Give yourself the gift of this hour and give that gift to those who are around you. I would highly recommend that you take your bulletin home and truly read through it. Let yourself know what's going on here, because there are activities that will truly call you to participate. You can look around in the garden court, sign up to get our Peak of the Week, which is the constant contact email that we sent out every Thursday, letting you know what's coming up in the week ahead. Truly, this is your community, and this is your invitation to become involved at whatever level is calling for you. And the level that's calling for us right now is to join together in prayer. So I invite you to close your eyes as we truly come together on a deep spiritual level, heart to heart. Sweet Spirit, we are truly connected, one in spirit, one in truth. For this glorious day, we are grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Amen. So I invite us to to applaud and celebrate this day. Yay. And let's join together in affirming our prayers, our affirmations that we affirm each and every Sunday. They are printed in your bulletin. And we begin by affirming our mission statement. Together, we are an inclusive and welcoming spiritual community, transforming lives as we celebrate, honor, and affirm the divine presence in every person. And our vision, together, we are a vibrant, loving, prosperous spiritual community. We invite all to be partners in the worldwide expansion of spiritual understanding and consciousness. And our affirmation for today's service, together, today, I consciously enter into a life of confident, triumphant living. I invite our on-duty Unity prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrive early. They're here to hold sacred space, to support you with affirmative prayer. Please seek them out to pray for you. If you have a concern, a celebration, if something on your heart that you would like to have someone hold, in the strictest of confidence and in the highest watch, they would be honored to do that for you. Thank you for your gift of service. If we could all now please stand and join together in singing A Brand New Day. The words are in your bulletin.
Brand new day. into the morning, into happiness. Hello, world. It's like a different way of living now. Thank you, world. We always knew that we'd be free somehow. In harmony, let's show the world that we got liberty. It's such a change for us to live so independently. Freedom, you see, has got our hearts singing so joyfully.
Feel it, right? Absolutely, absolutely. I want to welcome you today, and we certainly welcome those that are streaming with us today, especially those first-time streamers. Unity is also an open and welcoming and inclusive community. One of our favorite things to do here is to acknowledge our first-time guests. So today, if you're with us for the first time, please allow us to honor your presence here today. We invite you, if you would, just to take your courage in your hand. We're going to do nothing drastic here. Take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand, first-time guest. Courage, courage, courage. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. That purple packet that you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. There's also a welcoming CD in that packet. And there's a pink card there. If you choose to fill that out and turn that into our book desk, we have a special gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you a very personal welcome. All of that's important, and yet one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. Let's appreciate these guests this morning. Of course, we enjoy greeting each other. We do that with a smile, a handshake, a hug, namaste. We usually pick one. Let's always ask before we hug. Let's do that right now, okay? So if you did not get a chance to speak with the person you wanted to speak with, we invite you to join us for coffee and tea following today's service. Our next song is Morning Has Broken, and we invite you to remain seated.
Thank you. Singing of the Lord's Prayer. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you are invited to mentally add your prayers to the box. Your prayers will be prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they will be forwarded to Silent Unity, where they will be prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is raised up. I open my heart and mind to a new order of things. As I make progress on my spiritual path, I acknowledge and embrace it. I see how the Christ presence within lifts me into new ways of thinking and being. I express my divine nature and experience the peace that comes with new spiritual understanding. My quest for truth is lifelong, and I joyously decide myself to that search. I open my heart and my mind to a new order of things. I listen in silence when my mind is most receptive. I wait for answers to be revealed, for my faith is strong and anchored in God. I am a spiritual pilgrim traveling ever upward. The new order of life is revealed in moments of inspiration and feelings and compassion. I am aware of the activity of spirit in all things. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:3, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection. The word for today is raised up.
Thank you.
As we move into a time of meditation, I invite you to close your eyes, to relax into your chair, to take a few deep breaths as you turn within. And each time you exhale, let your body relax. Go to your quiet place and let go. Today is Palm Sunday. Using your power of imagination, I invite you in your mind's eye to see the scene that might have been taking place some 2,000 years ago in the city of Jerusalem. You're right outside the Golden Gates, the gates that mark the entrance to the city. The setting sun is shining directly on those gates, nearly blinding you. It's hot. It's dry. It's brown and dusty. And a growing crowd is beginning to line both sides of the road. And still more people are pouring out through the gates. There's excitement in the air. A great teacher, a healer named Jesus, is coming to town, and you've found the perfect spot in the crowd to await the arrival of this teacher. What thoughts are floating through your mind as you wait? Are you happy to be there? Are you anxious? How do you feel about this teacher? As you peer down the road leading to the city, you see them coming. Men, women, children. Their sandals are kicking up the dust into the air. And one man appears to be riding a donkey. Someone near you points and yells, "There he is." And you realize that it is Jesus who is arriving on the donkey. A chant arises from all of those watching. Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Are you joining them? Are you standing back and just watching? A great teacher, a healer, a victorious king rides into town on a donkey as he returns to his city. What does this say to you? The small parade of people passes directly in front of you. Your eyes are drawn to Jesus. He turns his head. Your eyes meet and hold their gaze. What message are you receiving from Jesus? What message do you have for Jesus? The moment is fleeting. He smiles and turns to someone else. In minutes, the parade is over, and you watch the small group pass through the gates and disappear from view. as we move into a time of silent prayer. We take the time to listen. To listen what our heart has to teach us from this experience in the silence. As we come back to a conscious awareness of these surroundings, of this room, our hearts overflow with gratitude. We truly realize our oneness and affirm that our lives, the lives of our dear ones, the lives of those we may meet today, are blessed. And with hearts overflowing, we send this love forward to do God's work. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. Amen.
Please order my steps in your word.
to walk.
Show me
in your word. Show me how to talk.
Show me how
in your word. Remind me a brand new song to sing. Show me how to let your praise.
As you know, we're in the middle of a series, and those of you that's been with me, you know that the name of this series is Get Up. You can. Get up. You can. In that first week, we looked at Get Up. You can reshape your life. We can reshape our lives because of that one presence and that one power, God the good, that lives and moves and has its being within us. And because of that, we can co-create with Spirit. And then that second week was Get Up. You can be healed. We can be healed, and the important part that faith has in our healing. Get up. You can be prospered. And the importance, my friends, of understanding that spiritual law of circulation, that spiritual law of giving and receiving, knowing that the law works, that giving activates that law. And then get up. You can know love and fulfillment anytime. Don't you love that? Anytime. Do you know love and fulfillment? Of course you do. And we also learned that it was not about going out and finding the right person. It was becoming the right person. And today we're going to continue with our series on Get Up. Get Up. You can be young at any age. You believe that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Eric Butterworth tells a story in The Flow of Life. He says, it tells a story of a Mr. Joseph McDonald. He says, Mr. McDonald was an elderly man who came to work every day. No one knew how old he was because he was that kind of gentleman that just appeared ageless. Do you know people like that? Just ageless. And so all of a sudden, you know, he was outdoing his colleagues. He was doing more than his associates. He was there with a smile. He was interactive. He was really engaged in life. And so one day, a younger associate asked him to lunch. And while they were at lunch, they had a wonderful conversation going on, and the young man was stammering around, needing to ask a question, and he says, Mr. McDonald said, just what is on your mind? And he paused for a moment, and he says, Mr. McDonald, how old are you? And Mr. McDonald replied, my age is none of my business. Don't you love that? My age is none of my business. Life is life, right? Life is not old. Life is not young. Life is just life. You know, last week I christened a baby that was probably less than a year, and this morning I called someone in the hospital that was certainly more than a year. And needless to say, it was the same life within each of them. But yet, because of this race consciousness that we live in, we have been given the understanding that we are born, and then we just kind of, some ministers say, from the time you were born, you began to baloney on that. Do you know what I mean? No way. We, my dear friends, are ageless. We are ageless, and there's something within us always, if we listen to it, that says, I am. I am. I was before, and I will always be. And this, my dear friends, is life. life. And as Butterworth says, we step into this flow of life. Contrary to what our race consciousness, our collective human consciousness has taught us, we step into this flow of life, knowing that we can be young at any age. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about that. First of all, I just want to share with you that we can be young at any age, and for some reason, you know, scientists really don't understand necessarily the aging process. They're constantly working on that, but did you know that every cell in your body right now is less than a year and a half old? So you're only 1.5 years old. Did you know that? You know, only 1.5 years old. And what I really like about it, I was thinking on my feet. Isn't it wonderful how the cells of my feet constantly renew themselves? Isn't it wonderful that in the summertime we can go barefoot, we can do whatever we need to do, and the cells of our feet are constantly renewing themselves? I don't have to go change my feet like I change the tires on my car. Isn't that great? Also, the wisdom of Solomon writes, do not invite death by the era of your life, or bring on destruction by the work of your hands. Because God did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living. For he created all things so that they might exist. So what am I saying? That you are going to live forever? You're going to live forever in this physical body? Well, I don't know about that, but Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our movement, certainly taught regeneration. He certainly knew and he understood even then how the body was constantly regenerating itself. And obviously scientists have stepped into that as well. Just in the March 2nd of Time magazine, there's a beautiful little baby on the front of this issue, and it says, this baby could live to be 142 years old. Wow, they're already doing experiment with mice with certain drugs to see. They've added already 20% of a lifespan to the mice. Wow, I want them to get that right before they experiment with me. Do you know what I mean? But they constantly, look at the history of age. If you were born in 1925, your age expectancy was only 59. In 1985, 75. And in 1915, 79. So that life expectancy is continually increasing in our life. And yet we know that regardless of how long we live, there's something inside of us that tells us that it's not necessarily the quantity of life, but it is the quality of life. You know, it's really easy to grow old, right? You don't do much. But it's a little bit more challenging to what I call grow onward, what Mr. Butterworth refers to as grow onward. When we grow onward, we make certain choices in our life. We make choices about how we are going to act, how we're going to feel, and what we're going to feed our bodies. And I'm just not talking about what we have for breakfast in the morning. Even though many of us, the older we get, we seem to want to eat healthier. And yet what's really important, my friends, is not necessarily what we feed our bodies. Yes, that's important, but equally as important, if not more important, is what we feed our minds. What we feed our minds is so important in our life. You know, we come up to this place sometimes called middle age. I think 70 is the new 40, don't you? I think 70 is the new 40. You know, why go 50 is the new 40? And yet what happens in our life sometimes, if you notice sometimes that we think we're getting into middle age, we get to whatever we refer to as middle age, and we say, well, it's just all downhill from there. Baloney, it's not downhill from there. Let's look at middle age totally different. Let's look at middle age as, wow, we have just completed the beginning. we have much farther to go in our life. Don't you have a lot more to accomplish in your life? Aren't Spirit calling you to do more, to be more, to express more, to know Spirit more? And believe me, I believe at age 40, we should be twice as able to receive the gifts and the blessings of Spirit than we were at age 20. And at age 60, three times greater than age 20. And at age 80, four times greater. Do you look at growing old that way? Do you look at growing old as I can receive more, I have more to give, I have more wisdom to share in my life? That's what growing old and onward is about. And yet, I believe that we can always remind ourselves that we can be young at any age. Mr. Butterworth, in his book, In the Flow of Life, talks about youth. And he says, one of the most obvious ways, don't you love my upside down book? I'm really not reading it upside down. It was printed wrong. What a discount. Wow. So one of the most obvious ways in which we get out of the flow of life is through our subtle enslavement to the cult of youthfulness. Whew. Okay. Actually, there is an implied, a morbid preoccupation with age in the frantic attempt to camouflage it. When we constantly think and talk about ways to appear youthful, we are out of the flow of life. There is nothing wrong with cosmetic aids to youthfulness if they are employed for the purpose of giving us something to live up to, and not something to hide behind. Cosmetics cannot give us a renewed spirit. Don't you love that? Yeah, and I love the fact that he says, go for the cosmetics. Go for the toning of the hair. Go for whatever you need to do, but be sure what you're doing is expressing from the inside who and what you are. I think it was Helena Rubinstein who says, there is no excuse for an ugly woman. With all the cosmetics out there, there is no excuse for an ugly woman. And I would say for an ugly man as well. But if we're not careful, we can step into that cult of youthfulness. Browning says, come and grow old with me. The best is yet to be. Beautiful. And we see that used all the time. Come and grow old with me. The best is yet to be. The best is yet to be if we create it as the best is yet to be. As I said, when the best is yet to be, my dear friends, is when we make a conscious choice to grow not old, but to grow onward in our life. And what about birthdays? Do you love birthdays? Butterworth has a little bit to say about birthdays. Some of us, I like the idea of Mr. McDonald. My age is none of my business. And yet at times we certainly go around celebrating birthdays. We do that. We send birthday cards to our members. We do all kind of wonderful things. But let's look at the birthdays in the right way. It's an opportunity to celebrate who and what we are and who and what we can become, not necessarily looking back to where we have been. But again, it's an opportunity to look forward in our life. Again, Mr. Butterworth says that it's not necessarily we who should be celebrating the birthday. We should be sending our mother the birthday card. She's the one that gave birth to us. And then he also says what's really important he asks the question, when was the last time you gave birth to something? When was the last time you and your creativity gave birth? And I think that's one of the reasons why it is so important in 12-step programs for people to remember their anniversary date. They remember the date they got sober. That's the day they made a conscious decision to give birth to something new. Or they made a conscious decision to step into the flow of life in a different way by stepping on this path of truth. So let's acknowledge those birthdays, but acknowledge it as a celebration of what can still be accomplished. The other thing that's really important at any age, is setting goals and the importance of setting goals in our life. I have known many people, once they have retired or refocused, they seem to let go of setting any goals. And yet goal setting is something that we do throughout our life. And it's so easy to say, well, my career is, I've finished and my children are gone and it's just me or just me and my spouse. So what, I don't need to set any goals. No, it's really important that we set goals and even have a purpose each and every morning that we get up. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you make a list of something you want to do that day, or one or two things or three things that you want to do, retired, refocused, or whatever? It's important for us to continually to set goals in our life. Jesus, our teacher and our way shower, he had an important vision. He had an important goal. Even on Palm Sunday, he was fulfilling a goal. Jesus, of course, you know, I've always thought of Jesus going to the cross at age 33 or going into Jerusalem at age 33 as a young man, because I was comparing it to the age today. Historians have shown us that the average age at that time was somewhere between 29 and 35, the average life expectancy of that time. 29 to 35. So, my dear friends, that's what Jesus was, not a young chick, so to speak. Jesus was there, but he was fulfilling a goal. And his goal was, number one, to teach the universal truth principle of love. To teach that, and to teach that the kingdom of God is not out here, but the kingdom of God is within here. And that was his purpose. That was his purpose here, and he fulfilled that purpose one goal at a time. And his goal on that particular Palm Sunday was to continue fulfilling that purpose, and we wherever that might lead him. I also know and give thanks that there are people in our spiritual community that are retired or refocused, and they, my dear friends, they do stuff. I've heard them say, "Have you ever heard this before? I don't know how I had time to work. I don't know how I had time to work. I've got so much going on." And even people within our community that's physically challenged right now, they still want to be involved. So what do? They hold us in prayer. They're part of our prayer ministry each and every week as they continue to hold the high watch here for us at Unity. Wow. No, it's not just growing old. It's growing onward. My friends, I don't believe that we grow old just for the sake of growing old, but we grow old when we stop growing. Does that make any sense? We grow old when we stop growing. We are called to express and to grow, and that's what we do in our life. I want to talk a little bit about retirement. Retirement is something that I think sometimes has the connotation of basking in the sun like Blanche in Florida, you know? And yet, it's a place in our spiritual evolution where we can do more, express more, and be more of who and what we are. There's an article written by Dennis Kravatz in the Huffington Post, and he says that this is an article, a study involving 100,000 women, found that women who were optimistic were 30% less likely to die of heart disease than pessimists. Another study found that optimists were less likely to become frail. So if you want to live longer, stay younger at any age, here are a few suggestions. He suggests, first, develop a mental attitude. That's what we teach right here. The importance of having the right attitude. How you feel about getting older can actually affect how long you lived. We know that thoughts are things, and thoughts produce within our bodies. So how we feel about actually affects our. Yes, it's important to say yes to a positive attitude. Another way is, don't act your age. Now, that may be something that we may have to break, because I don't know about you, but I heard growing up, act your age. And we have this culture. We have this culture about a certain person is supposed to act, a certain age is supposed to act a certain way. My first teacher, Reverend Dr. Murphy, she said, tell no one your age. No one your age. She says, because the minute you tell them your age, people start equating you to that age. Makes sense, doesn't it? She never told her age. And I didn't ask. I didn't ask. But we wondered, you know. And yet, it was when she made her transition, I found out her age. She transitioned at 101. So we never, because we, my friend, we can be youthful at any age. And she was that tight personality that had that aura around her, that light around her. Says the other thing is when they recommended is when you have health problems, keep your chin up. That is so challenging sometimes, is it not? And that's why it's so important when we have health challenges to be a part of a community such as this, so that we can hold that in prayer and support you and encourage you. Because studies have shown that once you keep that chin up and optimistic about your health, more than likely you have a better rate of recovery. And then see aging as an opportunity. It says, self-perception of aging has a greater impact on survival than blood pressure and cholesterol levels. See it as an opportunity. Do you see your birthday as an opportunity to go forward and to do more? See it as a plus in your life. And then ignore negative stereotypes about aging. A study out of North Carolina State University found that negative stereotypes have a negative effect on memory performance. In other words, these people were exposed to words like cranky, senile, feeble, as opposed to active, accomplished acknowledgement. Well, how would you perform on the test if you were exposed to those words before the test? So keep yourself surrounded by positive people. Watch the words that we speak. We know that words are creative and they have something to do with our bodies. And then resist mobility aids until you need them. Use them when you need them. Resist them when you don't need them. And it's so easy to get caught up in using those mobility aids. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, I was having a challenge with my right knee. And I was going to the doctor and having some injections. And saw myself as young, though. Do you know what I'm talking about? Really young. My doctor gave me a parking deal. Do you know what I mean by a parking deal? A parking pass. And it was certainly helpful at that time when I needed to park closer to the door or whatever. But today, I realize it sure is tempting sometimes to park there again when I don't need the pass, do you know? So don't use it unless you need it. Because I really believe that not only that, if I use that parking pass when I do not need that parking pass, I am setting up something in my life called cause and effect. The other thing, I don't want to use that parking pass when I don't need that parking pass, because that spot belongs to someone else, and if I use it when I do not need it, I am stealing. I am stealing. Thou shalt not steal. And that's exactly what we're doing. We don't need it. So use the aids as we need it, but don't use it when we don't. This next one may be a challenging one. Continue working in retirement. A recent study showed that every extra year of early retirement, a recent one showed that for every extra year of early retirement, workers lost about 2 months of life expectancy. Work, and if you say, well, I hate my job, I can't stand it, I am so looking forward to retirement, let me out of here, get out of there. But continue to do something. Continue to be useful to yourself, to others, and society. And then, of course, we've already touched on the last one. Have goals for the future. Have goals. It will keep you younger. There is more than life to life than just work. Look forward to life in general. Do you believe that you can be young at any age? Let's affirm together. I am young. Together, I am young. It has nothing to do with age. Nothing. Youth has to do with attitude. Get up. I can be young at any age. I love you, I bless you, and I behold the youthfulness within you. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite our ushers to come forth as we prepare to receive our tithes and our gifts and our offerings, and we invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. And those of you that are streaming with us today, we invite you also to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. There's a donate button right to the side of your screen. Click there, it will take you to a secured website. So let's just go within, center ourselves in this one presence, in this one power, giving thanks for what has been shared today, the music, the meditation, the lesson. We give thanks for each other, opportunity to come together in this spiritual community. And let us affirm together our church offertory blessing found in your order of service. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. Amen.
Last night as I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children sing, and ever as they sang, I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing, Hosanna. And then I thought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and chill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. once again the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem.
We've now had Palm Sunday, right? Yeah, thank you. I love our music, the what you've selected, the traditional and the contemporary blended so well together. I invite our ushers to come forth as we prepare to bless these tithes, bless these offerings. We are just grateful today. We feel that gratitude in our hearts. We bless these gifts and we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission. That's truly to transform lives as we celebrate, honor, and affirm the divine presence in every person. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. We conclude our series next week with Easter. Get up, you can be resurrected. Get up, you can be resurrected. And that's Easter Sunday. How appropriate is that? And then also, I want to invite you next week, if you're able to do so and mobile enough to do so, by all means, we invite you to park at Curry Center. We're expecting, obviously, Easter Sunday, and it's usually a larger crowd than usual. So by all means, if you're able to do so, I invite you to park there as well. I want to also share with you that David B. Eckel, age 75, passed away on March the 18th, and David was the gentleman usually sat in the back. He passed away from ALS. And his service here is Tuesday, April the 14th at 1 p.m. is visitation, and 2 o'clock is our service. So that's something you might want to come and support that family with. I think we have children out there, so let's stand and let's bring them in.
Light of God. Youth and Family Ministry in brief today. We reenacted the Last Supper with white tablecloths. And we had a foot washing ritual for our Uniteens and YOU. And I have an invitation for all of you for next Saturday. It's our Easter extravaganza. We still have a few openings to help us with activities and games. For instance, helping the Easter Bunny photos. We need someone for crowd control there. We are going to have egg fireflies that we're going to create. Really, really cute with little lights in them. And assorted activities that we just need a few more adult hands to help make go smoothly. If you'll sign up in the garden court, I'll check in with you this week, and we'd love to have you be part of that fun event. Thanks.
Let's appreciate our volunteers. There are numerous activities here this week in addition to the extravaganza. We can also do Thursday night, come for Holy Communion. The elements will be used. And then also on Friday evening for our Good Friday service as well. So let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God watches over us. Wherever we are,
God is,
and all is well.
Now there is peace on earth, and it has begun with me. Now there is peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be. All are we. Let us walk with each other in perfect harmony. Now peace begins with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my joyous vow. To take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Now there is peace on earth, and it has begun with me.
Yeah.